Well, it's my privilege this afternoon to share some thoughts with you.
Amen.
Praise God. And my message today is about overcoming.
Amen.
So hopefully it's a message of encouragement. So I want to talk about overcoming. Have you listened to the news recently?
No.
That's good advice, because it's all bad news.
Yes.
About wars, floods, inflation, cost of living, gas prices. Say anymore, you'll be really worried, won't you? Well, I want to tell you that we don't have to worry.
Amen.
We are sons of God, daughters of God, children of God. Mm-hmm. And he knows about it all. Mm-hmm. He's got the world in his hand.
Yes.
And we are overcomers. Yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, we know that we are saved. We know that when we leave this world, we'll go to heaven. Praise God. And we know that we are children of God.
Yeah.
That means we've got some pretty powerful allies, doesn't it?
We have, yes.
But you know, there are some times when we can feel low. Sometimes when we can feel despondent or disappointed or sad, well, we don't quite have the joy of the Lord with us. Well, stop and think for a minute, who's on your side? Just remember what he has done for you and for me from the beginning of time, that he knew us before we were even born. So my message today is also about rejoicing in the what he has for us. And as the word says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice always, yeah. Because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, all things have become new. And we don't need to worry about inflation.
No.
We don't need to worry about the price of cheese.
No.
Or butter for that matter.
No.
Because we're overcomers. I want to tell you a little story, as I usually try and do. There was a little boy, and he was afraid of the dark. He wouldn't go to bed without a light. He wouldn't go out in the dark. He was frightened of the dark. He didn't know what was out there. When he went to bed, he thought there were monsters on top of the wardrobe. Of course there were, but he was scared of the dark. One day his mother was cleaning the house, and it had gone dark, and she needed the sweeping brush. And she said to her little boy, "Would you go and get me the sweeping brush, please? It's out in the backyard." "Oh, but Mum, it's dark. I'm scared. I don't want to go out into the backyard because it's dark out there. I don't like the dark. I'll be afraid. I am afraid." She said to her son, "Don't worry. Jesus will be with you. He's in here. He's out there. He won't come to any harm." He looked skeptically at her, and she said, "Yes, go on. Go and get the sweeping brush. I know you've got to go out into the dark, but go and do it." So he went to the back door, just cracked it open a little bit and said, "Jesus, if you're out there, can you pass me the broom?" That's good, yeah. And you know, Jesus didn't pass him the broom. And he had to go back to his mum and say, I haven't got it. And she said, you're going to have to overcome this fear. You're going to have to be brave. You're going to have to go and do it. And so he brought himself together and he opened the door and went above the room for his mum. But he had to put some effort into it. He couldn't just let it happen to him. He had to put the effort in. And so did we. You know, in our lives too, we have to work at it.
Yeah.
Work out your own salvation, says the word, and we have to work at it. Can you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21? It's almost the last page in your Bible. I was watching a quiz the other day, and the question to the contestants was, which is the last book in the Bible? No one knew. Can you believe? No one knew the answer. Which is the last book in the Bible? Well, it's Revelation, and you're nearly beyond the last page today. Some folks find this book very hard to read, and it is a challenging book to read, but it's worth spending time looking at it and finding your way through the images and the revelations that are there, and asking God as you read it to give you understanding. So let's go to chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
Amen.
And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people.
Yeah.
And God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Yeah.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All those things have passed away. We'll come back to this chapter of Revelation a little bit further on. But it just sets the scene, doesn't it? That we're going to a beautiful city. We're going to dwell with God, and God is going to dwell with us. We'll be with him. No more tears. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. Didn't have in the Bible, but there's no more inflation. No more wars. No more problems. We're going to have such a wonderful time. We will be made perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's the journey that we're on. And along the way, we need to overcome through the strength of Jesus. All these former things will be gone, so we don't need to worry. I know many of us do worry. We worry about things, and we worry about our children, we worry about all sorts of things. But we need to leave with the Lord and to the Lord and make these issues matters of prayer before him. So, I know we've heard Andrew say many times, he knows your prayers before you ask. But we should still ask.
Yeah.
Come to the Lord with our petitions. Mm-hmm. Ask. And ask again if you need to. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you that God can be with you.
Yeah.
And as children of God, he is with us.
Yes.
Praise God.
wonderful.
Our Father, God,
with us.
Now, just to keep you on your toes, I want you to turn to the first book of the Bible. Anybody know what the first book of the Bible is?
Genesis.
Absolutely. I didn't hear that on Chris Brother, by the way. Chapter 7. Just so that you can see that just like God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the message about overcoming is, yes, in the last book of the Bible. It's also in the first book of the Bible. In fact, this message of overcoming is all the way through the Bible. All the way. This is the message of salvation. That we can overcome the world through God's strength. But this is about Noah. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all your house into the ark, for you, thee, I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Now this is the account of the flood. Those of you that came to the early Bible school, you remember that we talked about the flood and Noah and going into the ark. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. First time it had rained, yes. And Noah had to go into the ark, and he was in the ark for about a year, I think. About a year. There was no land, nowhere for him to land. And they had to wait until the waters abated before they could leave the ark. If we read that carefully in chapter 7, the Lord invited Noah into the ark. He didn't send him into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. God was already there. He was telling Noah to come into his presence, to come close to him. Noah, come into the ark. He said, go. He said, come in. And because he obeyed, and his children and their family obeyed, they overcome a devastating event that overtook the rest of the world. So he was able to go into the presence of God.
Yeah.
And they overcame. We're invited into the presence of God. Just as Noah was invited into the presence, so God is calling us and others, people who are not believers, but also us as believers, he's calling us to come closer, come closer, come closer. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So as we walk our Christian life, don't you think that ticket. I can sit on my nice, comfortable blue chair. We have to put some effort in, like the little boy. We've got to work at it. Study, learn, pray, worship God. Come closer to him. Because he has extended the invitation and we have to respond. No good getting an invitation to a wedding and then not going. You get an invitation, you have to respond.
Yeah.
God has given us that invitation to be with him in eternity. How wonderful is that? How marvelous is that? I think looking around, we've probably all taken and accepted that invitation. But we need to go deeper into the water. We don't need to paddle around the edges. We need to get in and swim. And then he will care for us. Well, he does anything, but care for us. He puts us in the cleft of the rock. We talked about that a few weeks ago, didn't we? And keep keeps us safe throughout any difficulties and problems that there might be. So if our friend Mr. Putin decides to send his atomic bombs this way, hey, I've gone to glory. And you are going to glory. Don't worry about it. Let him worry about it. And let the Lord look after it. He'll sort it out. So Noah had to act. He had to go into the presence of God. Had he stayed outside of the ark, what do you think would have happened to him? He would have drowned, wouldn't he? As did the rest of the world. He had to act and go into the presence of God. He went in with his family. Praise God. In Hebrews it says we can go boldly into the presence of God.
Yeah.
Let us go boldly into the presence of God. Why could we do that? Why is it that we, as mere human beings, can go boldly into the presence of God? He loves us.
Yeah.
He loves us.
Yeah.
He wants to commune with us and with his children. He says, come close, come to me. He's our Father.
Yeah.
Let's get in there. So, we've talked about something in Revelation. We've talked about something in Genesis after the beginning. I want to talk a little bit now about Joseph. You'll know the story of Joseph. He was his father's favorite son. And his father gave him a coat of many colours, much to the annoyance and jealousy of his brothers and half-brothers. They were jealous. Why has he got father's blessing and not us? 10 of the brothers were away from home, tending the flocks. Joseph and Benjamin at home. And Jacob sent Joseph to go and see how his brothers were doing. Take some food to them, he said. Go see how they're doing. Come back and tell me how they're getting on. And the brothers saw him afar off. And they said, what was this spoiled rat? What has he come up this way for to see us? And they started to plan against him. Because he was his father's favorite. But there was worse to come. Joseph had told them about a dream where all the family would bow down to him. Who is this so-called brother? He's an opinionated little brat, is what they said. Or words to that effect. Not quite those words, I'm sure, but that's what they meant. What was he saying to us? That we're going to bow down to him. What's he not about? That's good. We're going to have to get rid of him. And Reuben, who was the eldest of the children, he was a little bit more sensible than the rest. And he actually stopped them killing Joseph. He said, what would we say to our father? Don't kill him. And so, in the meantime, they popped him in a pit. And then if you read carefully, you'll see that Reuben went to do something with the sheep, probably, leaving the rest of the brothers in and around the pit. And some traders came by. Sell him, we can make some money, we can get rid of him. We've got rid of the problem. And so they sold him to the travelers going to Egypt. And then Reuben came back to his brothers and said, what are we going to do? And say to Father, and go back to home, what are we going to say to him? Where is Joseph? Now they kept the coat. And so you read it, they covered the coat with blood, took it back to Dad, and said, Joseph must have been eaten by a wild animal or a lion. Something's taken him. See, here is the coat, covered in blood. He's gone. What sadness the father must have felt, his favorite son. What sadness he must have felt. Fathers feel sadness. And I'm pretty sure God feels sadness sometimes too. When he sees the things that are happening in the world, when he sees the stupid things that men do, how sad God must be. And how sad he must have been at the death of his son. I'm sure that God felt that sadness so, so deeply, beyond that we can really comprehend. So they went back to the father and told him that Joseph had been eaten by a lion or a wild animal. And then you'll remember that the story goes on, the account goes on, and Joseph starts off okay in Egypt, but then finds himself in prison. One of the things that is marked about the life of Joseph is that he remained faithful to God. Throughout his life, he remained faithful to God. He lost his father. He lost his younger brother, whom he treasured. He lost the rest of the brothers, who were half-brothers, really. No doubt he had a regard for them, too. He lost his family life. He lost everything and found himself in prison, despite a reasonable start in Egypt. But he remained faithful to God. And God blessed him, and he became the top man in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. If you remember the account, he interpreted the dreams. He planned for the protection of the people through the famine. He made a storehouse for food, and during the 7 years of plenty, they kept grain for the 7 years that they were going to have the drought. And so it was that the brothers and now aging father were back in their land starving. We hear that there is food in Egypt. He said, let's go down to Egypt and see if they will give us some food. So they prepared themselves and took themselves down, and they begged for food in front of this high-ranking officer in Egypt. Now, time must have passed by because they didn't recognize that it was Joseph, their brother. And he was a bit naughty, really. He didn't say straight away that I'm Joseph, your brother. He played them along, didn't he? And what did they do? They bowed before him. Ah, is there a dream? There was a dream. They bowed before him. And of course, Joseph's heart melted. He fed them, and he brought his father, got them to go and fetch his father. What a reunion that would be. And I think then the father and son had 17 years together. 17 years, I think it was, that they wouldn't otherwise have had. What's the point of all that? Joseph overcame. He overcame all those problems that he had, both for himself and for the nation of Egypt and for his family, because he remained faithful turn his back on God and said, I'm in prison, or I'm in pit, or I've been sold as a slave. He remained faithful to God, and he became and was an overcomer.
Amen.
Just like we can be overcomers, just like Noah was an overcomer, so was Joseph an overcomer. Interesting bit is that in chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 19 and 21, Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not. So even in our lives, if there are things that we don't understand, challenges, difficulties, things that we find really hard to cope with, just remember what Joseph said, what was meant for evil, God meant for good. And sometimes you know you can't see what the good is in it. And we've talked previously about the mysteries there are in God's ways, and his ways are not our ways. But I know that we as children of God are in a cleft of the rock, and that he will care for us. So Joseph was an overcomer. He honored God despite the difficulties he was in. So in jail, as a slave, as a ruler of Egypt, he honored God. And in return, God rewarded him. And then all the family went to Egypt. That's how the children of Israel went to Egypt and stayed there for, is it 400 years?
Yeah.
And then they forgot about Joseph. And then there were slaves and had to be rescued again. But just as Joseph honored God, so should we. We shouldn't fear what is going to happen or that will happen to us. He directs us and God for us. Where would we be if he didn't? Absolutely, we would be lost. GPS. God's blessing system. Not a glory one. A bit further on in the Bible, there's another guy that we all know the story of, and this is a chap called Job. We all know the saying about Job. They say, oh, he's got the patience of Job. A patient man. Now, I understand that he was probably the richest man in the world at the time. But more importantly than the fact that he had wealth, more than any other man, he honored God. And Satan was given the opportunity to attack Job, not to take his life, but to present him with what would concern a few challenges, David. You just read it to me, as a man. A few challenges. He was ill, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost almost everything. He kept his friends, and his friends were not necessarily the most comfortable in terms of what they would say to him. But despite all the problems that he had coming from being, it says, you know, that princes would stop when he walked by and listen to what he would say. He was a really influential man in the world. But he lost everything because he was under attack from Satan. Have you ever felt that you're under attack by Satan? I'm sure we've all felt that there are times in our lives when evil is attacking us. Be like Job, honor God. Stay faithful to God, despite what you may lose. Heal of God.
Amen.
His wife said to him, curse God and die. She knew the consequence of cursing God was to die. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. He was an overcomer.
Yeah.
Job 19:25, what does it say? Job chapter 19, verse 25. It says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, Job's words, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. The words of Job, he knew that whatever he was going through, God would stand with him. And he also said in chapter 27, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. My righteousness I hold fast. He held on to his love of God and his understanding of God in those old covenant times. He stood firm and overcomer. All his wealth was restored. All his position was restored. Everything was given back to him. Twice over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twice over. Because he honored God even in the difficult times. Even when he couldn't afford the price of cheese. He still honored God when he had nothing. You know, there are folks in this world today who have nothing. And there are many folks in this world who have been persecuted for their faith in God. We are fortunate in this country that we can, although things are changing, I know, but we can worship God and have free access, thank God, to the church and to God. But there are more people in this world today that are being persecuted for their faith than ever before. How terrible is that? Evil. Evil in this world. Devil running around like a roaring lion. It's actually a toothless wonder. It's not got any teeth in it. So let's come to the overcomer. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stones rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass that they were perplexed. And thereabout there were two men, they behold two men standing in shining garments. And they were afraid. Understandably, I guess they were afraid of these two men in and around the sepulchre where we expected to find the dead body of Jesus. And what did they say? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he is risen.
Amen.
Praise God. So here we have it, folks. This is the crux of our faith.
It is.
He is risen.
Amen.
He is risen.
Yeah.
And still alive today. And what did he do by overcoming death? He overcame sin, death, hell, and he lives and reigns on high forever. And he's with the Father, he's interceding for you and for me. Until that day, he overcame, having laid down his life so that we too might overcome, so that we too can be overcomers, so that we can be heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Why should we be worried? We are joint heirs with Christ. All the doom and gloom we hear in the news, praise God, we are sons of God.
Amen.
Somebody mentioned to me this morning about the motorbike film, Sons of Anarchy, which I've never seen. And I missed the opportunity to say, but I'm a son of God. Mm. That would have been a good response, but never mind. But what we are, I have to tell you, and you know, is that we are privileged, so privileged, to be known as and to be children of God. Special people. The Bible says peculiar people, meaning special people. And that's what we are, special people, children of God. People who now have eternal life, and that eternal life will be with Jesus, with God in glory forever. Fantastic. So, we've seen in the beginning of the Bible, the end of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that there are messages about overcoming. All the way through, messages about overcoming. That's what we must do. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 21 and remind ourselves what's in store for us as overcomers. God is with men. So God is with us. He will dwell with us. I always think when I read about God dwelling with us, is that when God made Adam, he walked in the cool of the evening with Adam. And that they communed together. And another feeling of God. How can we enjoy that?
Yeah.
We're enjoying the opportunity to commune with Adam. And we can do that and should do that now. It says, God is with men and will dwell with us, and we shall be his people.
Amen.
We are his people, and we're special.
Amen.
No more tears. No more tears. We've all been there. What we need to do is be dependent on God. Rely on him.
Amen.
Give our tears to him. No more death. We might die physically, but eternally we'll never die. We will be in him glory. And what a time that will be. In fact, there won't be any time. Won't that be just wonderful? I was talking with somebody the other day and trying to imagine what heaven will be like. And the Bible actually says it's beyond what we can even imagine. You cannot contemplate what is in store for us as we overcome, as we stand firm, as we remain faithful to God, as the people I've talked about did, so we will be in eternity, in that unimaginable eternity of heaven. No sorrow, no crying, no pain. All things will be new.
Yeah.
Chapter 21 verse 6 says we gain access to the water of life. There's some good references throughout the Bible to water, not least of which we've talked about today in the rain that came for the first time. And then there's one of my favourite stories about the woman of Samaria and the well and her access to the living water. Living water. How wonderful is that? And verse 7 of 21, we shall inherit all things. Not a few things. All things will be ours. He is our God. We are his sons and daughters, his children. We will be in the glory of God. You know, when we are in church and when we feel the Holy Spirit fall, we rejoice in that. How wonderful is that? When we were up here at home, having a quiet time with the Lord, the presence of God and the joy that we feel when we do that. How much more it's going to be when we get to glory. We're going to be there with him, and he's going to be there with us. How wonderful. And you know, sometimes I start to think, well, it's going to be millions, billions of people there. That's not going to be a problem to God. He is going to be with us. He knows us one by one, by one, by one, individually. Somebody called me a hairy biker this morning. Well, actually, they said, you're not a hairy biker. He knows the number of hairs on our head, despite the fact that there are millions and billions of people over the ages that have worshipped and have been loyal to him. And we will be free from all that defile. Nothing will defile us when we're in the presence of God. Now we're in the world, but we're not of it, but we're in the world, and there's lots of things around about us that can defile. But praise God, we can be untouched by all that. And then in chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible, no more curse in verse 3. In other words, no more death. And what has caused death? Sin. So no more sin. No more death. Eternal life with God in the fullness of joy. And we shall see and be with Jesus. Verse 4 it says, we shall be with Jesus. The reward for overcoming, the reward for standing firm, the reward for worshipping God is that we will be with Jesus. And there'll be no night, verse 5. God will be the light. That's simple, isn't it? God will be the light. Just simple. No night. God will be the light. That wondrous light of God shines upon us in part now, but just imagine. In fact, it's beyond our imagination, but we try. So, finally, our reward for overcoming is an eternity of joy, an eternity with God. And I actually described it the other day as an eternity of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. And we'll have a crown of glory. A crown of glory. So, I say, rejoice. And rejoice, I say again. Because that is the inheritance that we have got. A reward for being overcome is our reward for putting that trust in God. A reward for handing over the problems of life to him is that we are able to rejoice. And then one of my favorite verses in John chapter 16, I